Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wave after wave of rain showing up on radar. It doesn't last long. It isn't particularly heavy. We haven't had any warnings as a result, but every now and then a shower, maybe a thunderstorm, is going to slide through the area. So it could be raining where you are, mostly dry at the moment in the heart of the metro. But another thunderstorm rolling down Highway 10 between Elk River and Anoka. So be aware of that. And then more showers and thunderstorms up in St. Cloud. Quite a bit better, as you heard a moment ago with Al. But it could be raining where you are, and that trend will continue through the early evening hours before it does indeed dry out. Right now, let's go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us. Steve, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. It was great to see a little rain come through. My tomatoes are smiling. They really needed it. So, yeah, it was good. And I was on the water this morning and dodged the rain. It was fine and got into some really good big crappies this morning. Wow. It's been really tough, man, for like 6 weeks. It's just been a struggle. But I went out into deeper water today at 28, 30 feet of water and found them suspended. And it was a really good morning, so I feel good about myself right now. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that is very good news, and I know the wait is for that fall bite. We're still a ways away from it really going gangbusters, but the colder nights, the cooler temps move us in that direction. So for those anglers who have been just kind of in the doldrums, the fall bite is on the way.
Yeah, it is. You know, I tried a lot of my shallow spots this morning where they normally are, and they pretty much abandoned the shallows now. And I think that's because of the water temperatures are dropping, things are changing, and they moved out to super deep water, and they'll probably be there for a while, and then they'll come back shallow again, you know, when the early bite gets going in maybe late September, early October. But you're right. We're not quite there yet. We're on the way, but heck, there's too much stuff going on. We got the Dove opener this week, and I had kind of a tough time in South Dakota. It was a little less than stellar. I really had trouble finding grain fields out there. Last year, you know, we had some tremendous grain fields, you know, 20, 30 acres out in Roberts County, right on the North Dakota-South Dakota border. And this year, they pretty much, you know, changed over to soybeans, and there was really very little grain. So,
wow.
It was kind of disappointing. I got some birds, but, you know, the mosquitoes got me. It was pretty hot, but it was good, and it was a good thing I was hitting because I didn't have a ton of chances, but the chances I had, I scored on. So it was really fun, and I will tell you, Steve, I talked to one farmer out there. You know, I said, how come you guys aren't, you know, planting any grain? And his response was, well, the minute we put it in the ground, we start losing money. So that kind of like, okay, I get it. So Anyway, it was, you know, a disappointment, but you got to really get into these counties that have, you know, rye, wheat, oats, and that's what attracts those migrant doves. And so I had a couple of really small 2-3 acre fields to work, and, you know, I did the best I could, but, you know, that's the way it is.
Yeah, and by the way, cooler weather in the short term, but the long-range outlook says another jump in temps here in the cities. We could see 80s, even 90s by the middle of the month. We'll see how that plays out. But at the moment, way up north, Ely, the Iron Range, up to International Falls, freeze warning, frost advisories for a huge part of the state tonight. just north of the metro from Hinckley up to Duluth, over to Bemidji, and then to the east into northern Wisconsin in the Hayward area, frost advisories. And then, of course, that frost advisory includes much of North Dakota and northeastern South Dakota. So the cool weather is there, but the warm-up's on the way.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to see any more warmth. I really want to see cold. I think I'm the only guy in North America that wants the cold to come on, you know. I will tell you, I've been out, you know, checking my deer stands. You know, the bow opener is next weekend, and everybody's pumped up for that. And I'll tell you, we have a heck of an acorn crop. This is probably the greatest acorn crop I've ever seen. There's acorns everywhere. And I think that's going to bode really well for the bow hunters, because those deer are going to be in the woods instead of, you know, hiding in the cornfields and the soybean fields. And so I think it's going to be, you know, a pretty good opener first few weeks, just because the acorns are just everywhere. I couldn't believe it. You got to kind of watch where you're walking, because it's kind of tough to walk on those acorn beds. But, you know, if you can get on, you know, around some, you know, nice white oak or red oak trees and see those acorns, a good place to put a stand.
Yeah, it is amazing. My daughter's got one. She lives in the city in St. Paul, and she's got a big old oak in her front yard. And they're literally covering the ground. It is unbelievable how many acorns. I have some oaks in my backyard, some bur oaks, some natives that live along the river. And they've dumped a ton to the point where I'm blowing them into piles and then picking them up with a grain shovel. That's wow. How many there are. Yeah, it's
well,
crazy.
You know, that's good, because last year we had zero acorns, and it's funny how they cycle like that from year to year. But, you know, you're going to probably have a bunch of wood ducks up there feeding on those acorns.
Well, the squirrels have been in early. I'm waiting for the wood ducks, because I've told this story before. I will come out, and the wood ducks are moving through, and they will stop, and there may be 30, 40 wood ducks in my backyard cleaning up the acorns, and they do a really good job. And they're a small duck, and you can't figure out how they get those acorns down, but they do.
You know, I've cleaned some of these wood ducks that'll have seven or eight acorns in their throat, and it's like, how the heck do they get it down that tiny little, I don't know how they do it, but they love acorns, so
yeah.
I think you can look forward to some wood ducks, because, you know, they love that, and they'll be back.
Yeah, and I got to get some video of it, because it's quite a scene when they're out there. And I've got to be very careful from the house getting the video, because they're easily spooked, as you know.
Yeah, they are. They're a very wary bird. Oh, you know, skittish. They're really not, you know, conducive to walking on land. You know, mallards are, but wood ducks are really tree ducks, and they really don't walk on land very well. So, yeah, they're kind of precarious and kind of spooky, but that's why they're such an incredible duck. I love wood ducks.
All right, Steve, I just want to get your thoughts on the boa hunting season. It's coming up. I know you're chomping at the bit to get out there and get in your stand. What do you expect to see? You mentioned the acorns. What have you heard about numbers? Are we going to see more deer in the field?
Good question, Steve. You know, it's really hard to answer, because we've still got tons of corn up. All the beans are up. It's really hard to tell. You know, sometimes, you know, the numbers can be really up, but they're in the middle of cornfields and you never see them. So once they start harvesting and, you know, these deer start going into the woods, you'll start to know more. They really don't know for sure, you know, statistically, but, you know, we'll know in probably about 3 or 4 weeks. But this was the weekend of the teal opener today. Heard a few shots, but not a big fan. I think it's really not a good idea. And I saw some wood ducks today and some teal when I was fishing that was near Wild Rice, and they were jumping up and coming down, jumping up, coming down. They couldn't even fly yet. So this absurd early teal season is going on this weekend. Which is 3 weeks before the regular opener on the 26th. So not a big fan. I think it's detrimental to the sport, but I have no control.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
All right, Steve, we'll do it again in 1 week. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but like I say, in that long-range forecast, by the middle of the month, you know, we could see temps in into the 80s, up near 90 man. Here in the cities.
Oh, don't tell me that. Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, you don't want to be in a deer stand with that stuff, that's for sure.
You're going to make the mosquitoes come back. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, I know. All right, Steve, have a good one. Yeah. There he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com, and he joins us each and every week and has for years. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday. Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News has an hour-long show between 5 and 6, chock full of great info and guests. Rob, Outdoor News, Sunday between 5 and 6, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Showers, maybe even a thunderstorm could rumble through your neighborhood yet this afternoon. That'll taper off, clearing tonight, and then tomorrow, lovely, sunny, light winds, 66 degrees. But we've had some downpours here in the northern suburbs of the Twin Cities. So once again, it could be raining in your neighborhood, or it might be sunny, and that's just that kind of day. And it looks like the tail end of this is kind of in the St. Cloud area, coming down 94. So we could get another wave late this afternoon or early this evening. But it's just kind of wave after wave, and then it stops, and the sun might come out. So an unsettled day here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. They're settling things in New York this weekend. It is the U.S. Open, the final Grand Slam of the year. And, Lindsay, the women's championship singles match is underway.
Yeah, Sabalenka is just dominating. And not really when you look at the score, but then you remember how close tennis is. I think Roger Federer said that in the course of his career that he won like 53% of his points. And you just think of how many majors he won and how people separate themselves. And it's in those moments of pressure. And it seems like Sabalenka's been able to take advantage and take it to Amanda Anisimova, who was playing in the Wimbledon final earlier this summer, got routed six donut. That means you didn't win one damn game. And that happened to me maybe about two times. And one of them, when we were playing the Mountain View Mustangs, because they had more country club money. So it's going to be a quicker ending, but they're holding serve, and so there could be a tie break on the way. And then if that gets there, I mean, anything can happen in a tie break, and if that's the case, so we got a third set.
Yeah, and then center Alcaraz tomorrow in New York.
Yeah, another one, a rematch from, what was the last? Was it Wimbledon the last major? I think it was. And Jannik Sinner went and won that tournament. This is going to be the next kind of Federer, Nadal, maybe Djokovic back and forth. But there's a lot of young talent coming up through men's tennis. And it's been really exciting to watch, especially on the American men's side. Obviously, nobody's made a final. Last time, I think Taylor Fritz did that earlier this summer. Maybe he went to Wimbledon. It all runs together. But I'm a Carlito Alcaraz fan, so I'm hoping that he's able to win on the hard court and defend his title from last year.
You and I have talked about this sport before and how impressive it is at the highest level of the game on what they do. And for the length of time they're out there, the mental toughness, the physicality of the sport, there really is nothing like it.
No, and to that extent too, Steve, the emotional regulation necessary as you're losing points. And say one goes for like a 15-shot rally and you just miss it, or it's the third time you've caught the tape and those forehands aren't going over. It's so easy when your heart rate is going crazy for you to tune into your emotions and not in a good way. And so that alone is reason for applause. But the best athletes in the world are tennis players.
Yeah, and you look at the grind, and people talk about the grind in the major leagues. All right, it's here in the lower 48. They're flying charters. They're staying in four-star hotels. Tennis players are all over the world, and the travel is on them, their team, the rest, the meals. And when you think about that, and that maybe doesn't get enough credit when it comes to tennis players, you may be used to eating one thing or sleeping one way.
Right.
You hear about like golfers, they'll rent a home and they'll bring their bed from home for the week. I don't think in tennis, when you're traveling all over the world, you know, bringing your own bed is really in the cards. I don't care how big a name or how much money you have or what your career arc is.
No.
I just think it's a different deal when you consider the miles that a tennis player puts on in a given year.
Yeah, and the margin for error, too. I think you have to climb a lot higher to be able to see profits from your own labor. And you think about, I jokingly call the tennis and golf two sports that I played the rich bitch sports. And a lot of these people, their hold up family is dependent on the tennis earnings because they've been all in on them from a young age. It's very hard to develop tennis players unless you're in one of those specialized nations. I mean, it took years for the men's side on the U.S. side to get back after Andy Roddick. And just think of how much money we were throwing at it, Steve, how many people probably go, because you can make big money in tennis. And not to mention, their season is like 11 months long. They play all damn year. I don't understand how their bodies hold up. They have to be on the cutting edge for you know, keeping their bodies well rested and well nutritioned and everything. But there might be some change on that forefront, because we're seeing several players starting to take time off, mental health breaks, and coming back stronger, thank goodness. But I just don't know if it's a sustainable thing to ask them to do the tour to the level that they are in today's day and age.
Yeah, it is an extraordinary challenge, and I think the life of a top-flight tennis player, and the biggest names, the legends, they make the money, they can fly private, they have all the teams. But you think about the people that are trying to make a name in the game and flying commercial and don't have the team around them and traveling to all four corners of the globe, it's daunting. It is extraordinary. And when we used to visit with David Wheaton, who came out of Minnesota and played in the Grand Slams and had a great career in his own right, and he just talked about that grind and how tough it is to make a living in the travel out there. It's pretty extraordinary. A couple other things I wanted to get into. Loons don't play today. They're in good shape in the Major League Soccer as we head into autumn and the end of the season and head for the playoffs. So the Loons doing well. The Lynx are doing well, but as of late, some struggles. And they will be in the Bay Area and play the Golden State Valkyries, who, by the way, an expansion team, they've done very well. They've had a really good year. And I think expansion has changed. That started with the Vegas Golden Knights. They put up a lot of money. They, through the expansion draft, were competitive out of the gate and have one of the marquee franchises and one of the more successful franchises in the NHL since coming into the league. So expansion isn't what it once was, but it'll be a challenge for a Lynx team that struggled. And I think that the challenge will be for Cheryl Reeve and Nafis Collier, MVP, to kind of flip the switch when the playoffs begin, because they had such a dominant year, but as of late are losing games and not, in Cheryl Reeve's words, particularly playing very well defensively at times.
Which is weird, Steve, because, you know, when Fee went out for a while dealing with the injury, they were actually able to weather the storm well, and maybe we could just chalk up these last 10 games as reintegration pains and trying to figure out how the rotation works and how they're playing, because Fee Collier is one of the best players in the league. You're going to make sure that she is the central part of anything that's going on the floor, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's been successful for them so far. So hopefully they get it figured out.
Yeah, and a challenge tonight, once again, at Golden State, that'll be at 7:30 our time. And once again, we're getting down to it. And the end of the regular season coming up toward the middle of the month, and then it's on to the postseason. And the Link's in great shape. But there are legit challengers, and I think a lot of people have talked about that it would be, it'll be a rematch between the Lynx and the Liberty. They continue to fall down the standings. You got Atlanta. You got Vegas on a tear right now.
Killing it.
They've won 13 in a row. And Phoenix is formidable. So, you know, if you think this is going to be a cakewalk for the Lynx, forget about that.
Yeah, that's the thing with this league. When it's so small, everybody is hyper competitive. Even the Valkyries, they're sniffing around this year, and so it'll be interesting. Let's hope that they can ride last season and take some notes from that deep postseason run, because they're going to need it.
And one of the headlines this week: Caitlin Clark done, the groin injury has torpedoed her season. We'll see you next year.
Pack it up, pack the league up. Steve, there's no reason for anybody to watch anything anymore, Steve.
Well, and I brought this up earlier, and I think it's worth bringing up again when it comes to Caitlin Clark. She brought a lot of new eyeballs to the WNBA, but I think the players that were there when Clark came out of college and came into the league were saying, hey, there was a lot of talent here before, and I think the league will be just fine. I think it's better with star power like Clark. Paige Bueckers plays for the worst team in the WNBA, and that's a good thing.
And how good does she look this year too, Steve?
Well, and here's the thing, is that I think when you can see legit stars coming to town to play your team, that is a good thing. And you need that. And there is a lot of star power in this league, and that's why I think you continue to see television ratings and attendance. But I know you follow this, and I have as well. They're a long way from labor peace in that league.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's going to be a whole different level negotiation with implications that are bigger than sports.
Yeah, for sure. And MLB is there. The WNBA is there. The players want more. And then in MLB, you got the owners who want more. So there are going to be a couple of battles there for sure. 4:32, quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. Once again, wave after wave of rain and showers and even a thunderstorm moving through the Twin Cities through the early evening hours. We'll get you updated on that. And then college football final, some of the area teams in action. We've got Jonathan Lowe in with the Big Ten and top 25 scores. The MIAC is starting to get started. Bethel and St. John's will start next week in the MIAC. The Northern Sun, well underway. We'll get into all of that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, update on that weather. Once again, wave after wave of showers, even a thunderstorm moving through the Twin Cities from the northwest to the southeast. It could be raining in your neighborhood, or it could be sunny in your neighborhood at any given moment. We'll call it unsettled, but things will quiet down tonight. Showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, mainly before 7, then clearing out and cool overnight, a low near 43. And then on Sunday, lovely, sunny, 66. Winds will be very light out of the west tomorrow. Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly sunny and warmer, 74. Tuesday, slight chance of rain. Otherwise, cloudy and 75. 78 Wednesday, 77 Thursday. Friday, sunny, 77. We jump into the 80s. Next Saturday, low 80s anyway, and the warm-up will continue. There is a hint that we could see 90 in these parts as we get to the middle of the month. How about that? 55 now, west winds at 5 here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. Well, here we are, a Saturday in the fall. College football gearing up. We're not into the meat of the Big Ten schedule. The Northern Sun well underway. The MIAC easing into their season. Same is true with the WIAC with non-conference action and the UMAC as well. And as we move into the fall and get beyond the Major League season, Twins and Royals coming up later, our lineup card at 5:30, we will have game reports and more on college football final throughout the afternoon. But we are going to get started right now with the regional school board. Jonathan Lowe is standing by with the top 25 and the Big Ten. The Gophers, a blowout win over a school from Louisiana, Northwestern State. They were like 130-point underdogs today, and the Gophers won 66-0. No, that wasn't the point spread. It wasn't triple digits. But it was dumb. In reality, never should have been scheduled. Quick comment on that. The Gophers every year should invite into Huntington Bank Stadium the likes of North Dakota State, South Dakota State, South Dakota, even get Northern Iowa in the mix. Bring them into town. They'll bring fans. They'll spend money in town. And sure, you might lose one of those from time to time, but I think it's good for college football in these parts. There is no reason to bring in a team from somewhere in Louisiana and pay them $500,000 to take a beating. Play a team from the upper Midwest as part of the non-conference schedule. Come on, guys. 66-0 proves nothing to anybody. All right, let's get to the Northern Sun today. And three games already in the books. Other action under the lights tonight. Augustana beat Jamestown. Jamestown joins the Northern Sun this year, and the Vikings win 37-7. And we're pleased to announce, after a year away for health reasons, Jeff Filling, the longtime voice of Augustana, is back behind the mic, and hopefully we'll hear from Jeff as we move through the fall. Minnesota State beat Minot State 34-16, and Winona State beat Bemidji State 21-17. Marquee matchup in the Northern Sun. Games later today, MSU Moorheads and Marshall to play Southwest Minnesota State. Northern State is in Sioux Falls to play the Cougars. Mary visits Wayne. That is a road trip. Bismarck, North Dakota to Wayne, Nebraska. Yikes. And UMD is at Concordia St. Paul tonight at Seafoam Stadium. Let's get over to the MIAC today. Non-conference tilt. St. Scholastica wins at Wisconsin Lutheran 41-27. St. Olaf beat the University of Northwestern from Minnesota. In Roseville, Ole's win 32-7 in Northfield. McAllister's at Grinnell. We don't have a score on that. Crown is at Hamlin. No final available there. Whitewater beat Carlton 45-14 in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Later, Gustavus at Whitworth out in Spokane. And Concordia will host Mayville State up in Moorhead tonight. St. John's, Mayor Idle, they will host Minnesota Morris at Clemens Stadium in Collegeville next Saturday afternoon. And the University of Northwestern, they'll make the short trip to Bethel. I mean, they could literally walk over to Bethel. From Northwestern to Bethel, they're like neighbors up there in Roseville and Arden Hills. That is the 6 o'clock start at Bethel next weekend. And in the WIAC, we already gave you a couple of scores out of the WIAC. Whitewater was a big winner today. And let's see if we can get some scores on what's going on today. And here we've got it. River Falls, a win over Alma from Michigan, 45-33. That was in River Falls this afternoon. Stevens Point beat Albion from Michigan, 28-21 in overtime. Stout beat Dubuque from Iowa, 38-35 in Menominee. Platteville on the road at Aurora of Illinois, a big winner, 41-0. And as we mentioned, Whitewater beat Carleton, 45-14. UW Oshkosh is out at Linfield of Oregon, and that game getting underway out at Linfield. All right, without further ado, the Big Ten, the top 25. Let's bring in Jonathan Lowe.
Oh, Stevie T, you are the man. You are the myth. You are the legend. And it is always wonderful to join you on a weekend in this time period. I need some music. Can I get some music? I just need some mood music. Yes, sir. And I'm telling you right now, on the calendar, it doesn't say this. It's not supposed to say this. But people remember, I'm a meteorologist. I have a background in meteorology. And if you look at the meteorological calendar, it's time. We don't need to worry about September 20th or 21st or whatever. It's officially here, folks. And it's officially another wonderful, glorious, beautiful Saturday in the fall, y'all. College football here, there, and everywhere. And we get it rolling in the Big Ten. Let's start with the games in action. Right now, number one Ohio State is having no problem with Grambling. They are up big at the shoe, just started the second half. 42-0 Buckeyes after beating Texas last week, looking assured 2-0 as we go into the early portion of the season. Rutgers at home hosting Miami of Ohio late in the second quarter, about 2 minutes to go in that. 17-7, the Scarlet Knights leading the Red Hawks of Miami, Ohio. Number six, Oregon, is putting it to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has fallen off the train, y'all. I don't know where they've gone. Oh, they used to be a top 20 consistent program, and now Mike Gundy has lost it for some strange reason, but that doesn't bother Dan Lanning or the Ducks. Number six, Oregon, up 41-3, just kicked off in the second half in Eugene. Wisconsin at home against Middle Tennessee, and it's close, folks. It's close at Camp Randall. It's at the half. Badgers up 14-10. Finals from earlier today. Number two, Penn State, a 34-0 winner over Florida International. Number 11, Illinois goes on the road and beats Duke 45-19. At Jack Trice Stadium, it's Cy-Hawk Saturday, everybody. It's Cy-Hawk Saturday. Iowa-Iowa State. If Iowa wins this game, it's usually pretty lopsided. You know, they got a way of beating the Cyclones down. Cyclones need some help to win if they win these games, and they needed it today. Last year, Kyle Cornrarty hits a game-winning field goal at the gun to win in Iowa City. This year, Kyle Cornrarty hits a long 54-yard field goal with just under 2 minutes to go to give the Cyclones the lead. The 16th-ranked Cyclones beat the Hawkeyes today 16-13 and win their second in a row, first since 2011 in Ames. Number 23, Indiana. They win over Kennesaw State 56-9. Your Golden Gophers just waylaid Northwestern State, as Steve said, 66-0 the final at Huntington Bank. Coming up later this evening, Nebraska will be at home looking to go to 2-0 as they host Akron. Michigan State and Boston College will swing it out in Spartan Stadium. USC will host Georgia Southern. Number 18, Oklahoma, will be host to number 15, Michigan. Purdue takes on Southern Illinois and West Lafayette. UCLA goes on the road to take on UNLV. And Washington is at home against UC Davis. Last night, it was Maryland winning at home over Northern Illinois 20-9, and Northwestern gets their first win of the year 42-7 over Western Illinois. To the top 25 scoreboard we go. Number 22, Tennessee. They're up big on East Tennessee State early third quarter, 48-10 in Knoxville. Number 20, Ole Miss, went down 10-0 at Kentucky. But at the half, the Rebels have rallied. It's 17-13. Ole Miss, again, 20th-ranked Ole Miss at Kentucky. Number 8, Clemson, they're trying to get back to some winning ways after losing last week to LSU. They are trailing early at the end of the first quarter, actually, at home to Troy, the 8th-ranked Tigers. Dabo could be a little bit of trouble there. Number 13, Florida, hosting South Florida. South Florida defeated 25th-ranked Boise State last week. They're looking for their second straight top 25 win. They're in it late in the first half, about 30 seconds to go. South Florida has the ball at the Florida 35, looking to score 9-3 Gators leading the Bulls. Number 4, Georgia, in a weather delay in Athens. It is 14-3. They lead Austin Peay. Earlier today, another big rivalry renewed. The old Southwest Conference, Baylor and number 17 SMU in Dallas, and it went to overtime, folks. It didn't just go to overtime. It went to double overtime. Baylor comes up with the shocker, 48-45 in double OT. Number 24, Texas Tech, they easily beat Kent State 62-14. Number 7, Texas gets on a winning track again after losing at Ohio State last week. They beat San Jose State 38-7. Number 14, Florida State. They earned the ranking last week with that win over Alabama. They weren't going to really lose it this week, but boy, did, wow. 77-3, 11 touchdowns for the Seminoles today as they just take it to East Texas A&M. Wow. Number 19, Texas A&M, they win against Utah State at home 44-22. Coming up later this evening, number 25, Utah, will be at home against Cal Poly. Number 5, Miami, hosts Bethune-Cookman. Number 10, South Carolina, is going to be at home against South Carolina State. Number 12, Arizona State, heads to SEC land to take on Mississippi State. Number 3, LSU, will host Louisiana Tech. And number 21, Alabama, will be at home against UL Monroe. Stevie T's guy, Kalen DeBoer, might need to warm up his resume, might be on the hot seat. Who knows? We'll find out. Let's head to the Northern Sun. I'm sorry, the Northern Sun. The Missouri Valley real quick, FCS action. Northern Iowa is at Wyoming, and the Panthers just kicking off the second half. They are down in Laramie 17-7. North Dakota State, they go to Nashville and absolutely wreck Tennessee State today. 59-3 the final for the Bison, now 2-0. North Dakota later on this evening will be at home against Portland State. It'll be South Dakota on the road at Lamar, and South Dakota State in a very good matchup FCS-wise. South Dakota State on the road in Bozeman to take on Montana State. That's a really good matchup, folks. One other score to discuss, and that's in the Pioneer League. St. Thomas back on the turf today, and there is a delay in Moscow as they are taking on Idaho out west in Idaho. So the Tommies look like they are down at this point, 23-13. We'll see if we can get hopefully a little bit of an update later on. But again, looks like the Tommies are down at Idaho, 23-13.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We've got a couple other scores we want to squeeze in. Back to the MIAC. It is a final. Hamlin beat Crown in St. Paul, the final 28-21. And McAllister got a win on the road at Grinnell, Iowa, 20-15. So the Scots get a victory today. Quick break. We'll come back. We have all the news and weather at 5. Phil Miller joins us from Kansas City. Twins and Royals on the radio tonight here on CCO. All the news, all the weather coming up at 5. It is over. U.S. Open New York women's final. All right, Lindsay, what do you got?
Oh, Sabalenka won. Not really to anybody's surprise. There's not a lot of people on planet Earth that are hitting a better ball than she is, and that includes the men. But Anisimova had a little bit of thrashing at the end, pushed it to the tiebreak, had a couple of forehand winners. You say, hey, there's something spicy going on here, but Sabalenka's unbelievable in tiebreak. She's up 6-1 at one point, and she holds out to secure the U.S. Open title. I think she has at least 4 at this point. Why are you still excited? Right? Like, you've won too many. I just walk off the court.
Yes, I believe that is her 4th major and her 2nd consecutive U.S. Open title.
Yeah.
What's new? Pretty solid. And Sinner Alcaraz tomorrow in the men's final. So there's that. As they put a bow on the U.S. Open in New York, we're going to put a bow on the hour. We're going to get you all the news. We'll get you all the weather. Phil Miller is going to join us in the Writer's Corner. We'll count you down to the Twins and Royals at 5:30.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.